Good morning. My name is Sean Berghariton, and I'm sitting here with Jonathan Hamburger, who arranges loans for nonprofits and has helped out many shluchim over the years. And today we're going to discuss a number of common questions that Jonathan gets from shluchim who are trying to buy homes for the first time. So, good morning, Jonathan.
Hi, Sean Berg.
So, I was wondering, you know, I'm looking now in the market to buy a new home for my family to live in. And my first question that I have is, you know, should I put the home under my name or should I put it under my maisid? What are the pros and cons involved?
So by far, this is the most frequent question that I get. And the answer is not so simple, except usually the decision is based on what you qualify for. If your organization is strong and you're not personally strong, then you'll end up doing it in the name of your moissid. Otherwise, if the organization is weak and you're strong, then of course you'll do it in your name individually. But here are the pros and cons either way. First of all, the financing itself. Commercial financing from commercial banks is what's used to finance something in the name of the moissid. That financing provided by commercial banks is generally of a duration of between 5 and 10 years, which means at the end of that period of time, you have to deal with a balloon payment, whereas a residential loan under your own name is generally fully amortized over 30 years, meaning that when you make your last payment, you owe nothing. So in the case of commercial financing, you have to worry about refinancing every 5, 7, or 10 years. In the case of residential financing, you do not. That's the first distinction. The second distinction is the down payment required. When you're financing in the name of the moissid, you need to generally put down around 30% or more. Whereas in the case of buying a property residentially in your own name, standard down payment is 20%, and it can be as low as 3.5%, assuming you can afford it. The next distinction is closing costs, whereas in the case of residential financing in your own name, the closing costs are generally built into the loan, meaning you don't have any out-of-pocket cost. In the commercial scenario, closing costs can be significant, 2-3% of the loan amount. Next distinction is the interest rate itself. Interest rates are slightly more favorable on residential than on commercial. However, one thing to keep in mind is the payment of property taxes. When something is in the name of the moissid, one can file a tax exemption and not pay property taxes. Difficult at best to do that when the property remains in the name of the individual.
So, are you saying that if I do the mortgage individually, take in an individual mortgage, there is a possibility for me to still be able to have a tax exemption?
Possible, depending upon the municipality that you're in the U.S. Some shluchim I've seen successfully create long-term leases between themselves and their moissid and then file for application and actually be approved. If one is considering transferring the property from the individual to the moissid, one must be aware of the potential legal ramifications. Specifically, there's something written into a standard mortgage or deed of trust instrument. It's called a due-on-sale clause, meaning that if the property is transferred, the lender can call the loan, can place the borrower in default. As a practice, whether that happens or not is not really that relevant. What is relevant is that there's something called an anti-waiver clause, which means that even if the bank decides not to take action against a borrower today, he can do so tomorrow or any time in the future. So one must be very well versed on the laws and understand what he's getting into and understand that he would be in violation of the contract.
Okay, and so going back to the commercial loan, is there any way that I could get a commercial loan that won't have a balloon payment at the end, so I don't have to worry about refinancing?
Possible, but unlikely, because most banks deal with 5, 7, and 10-year paper. However, some banks deal with 15-year fully amortized paper. However, because the amortization period is short, 15 years, it means the payment is high, most shluchim are in the business of managing cash flow and don't have the discretionary income to make larger payments. Theoretically, it is possible, though.
So, with regards to commercial loan, if I'm going to put my house under Maisid, how does the property, you know, it's a single-family home zone for a single family, how does that affect the ability to actually get a commercial loan on that property?
So, commercial banks basically fall into two different categories. One type of bank would be a local community bank that's close by, that has a footprint in the neighborhood where you're buying. The other type of commercial bank is a bank that specializes in nonprofit financing. Most of these banks originate out of the Bible Belt in the southern United States and do business regionally in different parts of the country. Each bank makes its own decision based on its own comfort level as to what the collateral needs to look like. Some banks, as an example, do not want to give commercial financing to a residential property, whereas plenty of others will want to do that. Most banks, when it comes to what is their preferred collateral, would prefer commercial, storefront, retail-looking property, because if I have to foreclose on this property, says the bank, who's going to be the likely buyer? So if a bank finances something that looks like a church with a steeple on top, who's going to be the likely buyer of this property if he has to foreclose? The universe of potential buyers is limited, whereas if it looks like a regular retail establishment, the lender is going to feel more comfortable. I'm not sure if that answers your question, Schellenberg.
Yeah, I think it does. Okay, so let's move on to the qualification for mortgage. So starting with, as an individual, if I want to buy the house, and obviously, you know, I'm getting paid a salary from the Maisid, but we're not making that much money. What would it take for me to get qualified for a personal loan on a home, let's say that's $700,000 home?
Good question. So the universe of lenders for residential properties purchased in the name of individuals, It's a big universe on the one hand. On the other hand, most of them conform to standard operating guidelines as published by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. And within those guidelines are the standard qualifying parameters, as well as those specifically for members of clergy. So to give you just the general rule of thumb, no more than 45% of an individual's gross income can be used to satisfy all of his expenses. Those expenses include the mortgage payment, the property taxes, the hazard insurance, as well as any other credit card, revolving, installment, automobile, or education loans. In the case of a shliach, the typical shliach reports a modest amount of income on his tax returns under Schedule C, which is the profit and loss for a business. Whatever he does report, his accountant generally writes down so that his net income is as low as possible. The rest of his income he takes in the form of non-taxable compensation known as parsonage or housing allowance. And the lender, per Fannie Mae, is obliged to accept that as income dollar for dollar. However, when it comes to documenting that income, given the typical mentality of a shliach, it becomes difficult sometimes. So proactively, the shliach should keep in mind that he is going to need to produce generally 12 months of proof of receipt of money from the Moisid, and that amount of money should be in the same amount each and every month. So if the Moisid is paying for his current rent, and it's being paid directly to the landlord, that's fine. You'd want to provide 12 months worth of evidence that that's occurring. And in addition to that, the shliach is taking out of the moisid another $2,000 a month for expenses. That's fine. That also needs to be documented. The suspicion on the underwriter's part occurs when the amount is variable each month instead of being consistent each month. And when suspicions arise, then underwriters are going to dig deeper in terms of looking for documentation. They're going to want to see the money leaving the Moissit, going into the individual's account. They're not going to want to see it going back the opposite way, where it goes from the individual account to the Moissit. So it all has to really pass muster in terms of just basic qualification guidelines. The shliach is going to need to provide an employment agreement signed by a member of the board of directors of his Moissit that states the term of the contract. There needs to be at least 3 years remaining on the contract, and specified within that contract should be all the salary and benefits that he's receiving. As far as down payment generally, especially in the lower loan amounts of $625,000 or less, generally speaking, the down payment can come in the form of a gift from the Moissit.
So you mentioned earlier that included in the 45% is personal debt, credit card debt, and car payments, etc. So if I have a lot of credit card debt, would that affect the outcome of my loan?
It'll certainly affect it, but generally, credit card debt, from my experience at least, is traditionally paid out of the Moissit directly to the credit card company. If that's the case, again, as long as we have 12 or 24 months of proof that the Moissit pays the credit card debt, then it will not be counted against the individual.
So what if I don't have readily available the 20% down payment on the home? What are my options then?
When a homeowner wants to purchase a home and pay less than 20% as down payment, there's something called PMI, or private mortgage insurance. And this is something offered by private companies. It's also something offered through the Federal Housing Administration, the FHA. In the case of the FHA, the minimum required down payment is only 3.5%. Keep in mind, however, that whenever you put less than 20% down, there's an added insurance premium that gets paid up front, as well as a monthly mortgage insurance premium. This mortgage insurance premium is used by the FHA to create a pool of money so that if borrowers default and lenders lose money, the FHA uses that pool of insurance money to reimburse the lender against loss. The factors that are used are as follows. For the upfront mortgage insurance premium, it can be up to 2% of the loan amount. That can be financed as well, so you don't have to come out of pocket, but it is going to increase the loan amount. And then there's a monthly factor, and that monthly factor is generally equal to just less than 0.75%. So if the face amount of your interest rate, for conversation's sake, is 4%, it would drive the effective rate up to 4.75%. After 5 years, and or before, assuming the property appreciates sufficiently so that there's at least 20% of equity in the property, the FHA may release you from the FHA insurance monthly premium.
Is there a limit on the amount that I could get for such a loan, for an FHA loan?
It depends upon the region of the country that you're located in. It can range anywhere from around $400,000 to as high as $625,000. When you exceed that limit, then one has to use jumbo financing, which is a different scenario that requires different types of qualification. While we're still on the subject, I want to bring up another issue related to financing something that's going to be used as a Chabad house as well as a personal residence, and that is the lender's perception that you as the borrower are using the property, using the collateral, not just as a personal residence, but also as a place of self-employment. In other words, from the lender's perspective, are you running a business out of your home? It isn't as though the bank is questioning whether you really live at the property. They understand that you are, but they're questioning whether or not this is a synagogue. And as we know, for the most part, your personal residence, your Chabad house, is not a synagogue. It's a place for Friday night dinner. It's a place for Bible study, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't want the bank to misunderstand and to look at this property as a synagogue.
Okay, we only have a few minutes left to this segment, so I'd like to, as the last question, I'd like to ask the Achron Achron Chaviv, the most important of all, what are the qualifications that are needed for a commercial mortgage?
Bottom line, there are two elements. The first element is the down payment, the required down payment, and the bank wants to see that you have skin in the game. So a minimum of 30% down, the more down payment, the easier it is to get the loan. The second element is going to be your financial statement consisting of 3 years of profit and loss statements, as well as 3 years of balance sheets. And what the bank is looking for is to, number one, not be in a position where they're lending more than 3 times the amount of your gross revenue. So if you're collecting, as an example, $300,000 a year on donations, they're not going to want to exceed a loan amount of $900,000. Number two, they're looking at one's net income in terms of what's left over. And I realize that you're shluchim, so oftentimes there's nothing left over. And to whatever that bottom line number is added back things like your current rent and other expenses that are either non-recurring or discretionary. We come up with a number. That number has to be sufficient to cover the new mortgage payment on the new property plus at least an additional 25%, meaning that if your mortgage payment is $1 per month, you have to show net income of about $1.25 a month. They want to see a reserve of about 25% or more to make sure that there's enough money to satisfy the monthly mortgage payment.
Do the statements need to be prepared in any specific manner in order to get approval, or if I do it myself, is that enough?
So, first of all, it depends upon the individual bank. Second of all, it depends upon the state or the region where you're located. Generally speaking, under $1 million loan amount, a in-house financial statement is sufficient. Over $1 million, at the very least, a compiled financial statement from a CPA is required. Depending upon the complexity of the transaction or the ultimate loan amount, even audited financial statements, which are more rigorous, would need to be provided. The problem for most shluchim, especially guys that are just starting out, is the fact that they're managing their moissed from CMS and from a shoebox. The first thing to do is to get the bookkeeper, who's qualified expert in QuickBooks, to at least get everything entered in QuickBooks. That will at least give us an initial reading as to what's going to be possible in your specific scenario.
And does that have to be, like you mentioned before, 3 years back, or is it enough if I just do 1 year?
All banks want to see 3 years financials.
Thank you, Yonatan, for taking the time to talk with us today, and I look forward to talking to you, delving deeper into these issues in our next segment.
Thanks, Shalom Bear. I do as well. Thanks.